Okay, good enough. All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Actually podcast. I am Tristan.
And I'm Bob.
And these are the new comic listings for August 19th. Oh, my God. August 19th, 2020. We're finally starting to get back to some sort of normalcy in the release schedule. And it seems like we're getting nice, decent-sized weeks now. This was a pretty big week, I think, overall. And next week looks to be shaping up to be a pretty decent-sized week as well. So that's cool. There were a few standouts that I was pretty stoked about. I read a bunch of stuff this week. I actually had time, which was awesome. And I guess we can talk about stuff. What would you like to talk about? Was there anything special that you wanted to talk about?
I loved Ant-Man 5, the final issue of Ant-Man. I loved it. It ended on a majestic high note. The series was really good. But, man, did you read it?
I didn't. And I love that series. I love it. I forgot to grab it. It just didn't occur to me. It was in the corner, and so I didn't take it.
Well, I think it's often kind of overlooked when you have these kind of like shorter series like that, like the last issue might, you know, not be on. Zeb Wells, the writer, Dylan Burnett, who was the artist of for 5 minutes of the X-Force before the relaunch, but just really good. Just very like the art is just like super stylized and active, but the story was really good. And it's basically like this whole storyline revolved around some kind of entity named Macrothrax. The recap page, I won't spend a ton of time on it, but it's every recap page is read by like an ant. But this one is read by a moth, an elephant hawk moth. And he says, "Sup, Macrothrax took control of bug lords to take over world. Ant-Man and Stinger, only one stand in way. Look, elephant hawk moth knows ant's good at recapping story, but that not how this moth rolls. You read first four issues or no read. Moth has things to pollinate."
So good.
Yeah, I mean, that's everything you need to know. They fight this guy Macrothrax, which is essentially Swarm, but for like if Swamp Thing was made of bugs,
right? Yeah.
And a kaiju.
And also a kaiju. Yeah, so good.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I loved it.
Yep, definitely a standout. One that I would like to talk about very specifically before we do anything else is a book called Shadow Service. That is done. I don't actually know these other people. Kavan Scott, don't know him. Don't know any of the other people involved, but our friend Corinne Howell is the artist on it, and the book rules.
Looks great.
It's like a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more fun version of Hellblazer. It's like nice. Imagine Kingsman and Hellblazer were kind of together. It's MI666, and it's nice. And yeah,
excellent.
It's just very fun. She's some sort of PI witch, and she's going around solving crazy crimes and getting paid to do things where she's not told why she's doing them or whatever. And it ends on a cliffhanger of something happening with her, and it's just super, super solid first issue.
It looked really good when I was.
It's not just because Corinne's a friend. This is a great fucking book. I'm really excited. So I cannot wait for the rest of this. It is from Vault Comics. Definitely, if that is a kind of thing that you're into, you should check it out.
Well, and especially now that Hellblazer's been canceled. There you go. Replace it with this. It's
exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. There's a new issue of Scooby-Doo out this week. Which is really funny because speculators are nuts over everything, but this was one that went on the speculator's radar because there's a new character introduced, but of course it's Scooby-Doo. It's, you know, it's a monster of the week. It's just very funny. I saw Weird. It turn up in the collector forums, and it made me laugh.
Weird.
Yes. Let's see. The new Transformers 84 series, the second issue is out. That's a really fun throwback, returning to the old Marvel series. G.I. Joe number 7 is out. Dark Crystal Age of Resistance is out. Rey number 6 is out from Valiant. Just the newest Rai comic. I don't know how to say the name of that character, but whatever.
I think you got it. I think one of those times.
I think one of the two. I think I got it. I'm pretty sure. There's a new Power Rangers series that is focusing on Drakkon. It is the Power Rangers Drakkon New Dawn number 1. So if you're a big Power Rangers fan, that's probably going to be pretty cool for you. Nice. Ludocrats number 4 series that I love.
Yes. I just found out this is a miniseries.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so this is the penultimate.
This brings us to a sad thing. I mean, Image is not doing as well as everyone would like to imagine that they are, considering how many, like, smash hits they have. And, you know, like, it's a lot of people are just barely breaking even with these things that they're doing. Even a series as great as this, I have a bad feeling he's not making the kind of money that, you know, you need to do this. When I found out that we were talking with the guy that did Mouse Guard, and we were going to have him to the convention, and this was like, I think, 3 hardcovers into his series, maybe 2. But either way, we were like, well, you know, you can come up. And he was like, well, you know, I got to work. And we were like, how is the guy that does fucking Mouse Guard having to work for a living? Comics is very unfair in that way, unfortunately. And my point being that I think we're going to see a lot more little short miniseries at Image, because there's a lot of money to be lost, unfortunately.
Well, the cover of Ludocrats 4 is amazing, and I knew it was the penultimate issue because it says free penultimate pen and not included on the cover. Yes. But there's a picture of like a really obese bearded man holding some kind of happy slug as they trip through some kind of field of psychedelic jellyfish. I don't know what's going on there. I've been saving these up, and I don't know. It's colored by Tamra Bonvillain, which I don't know if I pronounced that right, but I mean, obviously it's Kieran Gillen and all those guys, but man, if she's coloring it, it's probably awesome.
It's so weird. I think
it's like a nice barometer.
Yeah, she's like an easy way to tell if there's a series that's worth paying attention to. Yeah. It just seems like she shows up on all the books I like. So, yeah. Very, very.
And they
cool.
all look amazing because she's like the best colorist in the business.
Yep. She is or one pretty of them anyway. Goddamn good. Transformers versus Terminator number 2.
Oh, man.
Savage Dragon 251.
Ooh.
Faithless 2 number 3. This one I think they got right so that there's no ass fucking displayed prominently on the back cover.
Always a bonus.
Yeah. I love that was like, speaking of collector stuff, I love that last issue became like a $15 or $20 issue because they did package it wrong. So it was like, so the thing that was supposed to be censoring it was on the wrong side. And it's like, it's funny, but I mean, it only works if it's still in the package, though. So it's, I don't know. It seems like a weird choice.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Metal Men series is still going.
Sure.
We haven't carried it in forever. Sonic the Hedgehog number 30, Transformers number 22, Star number 4. Star is still going, which, you know, that feels
what
like
is? I don't even know what that is.
That's the spinoff of Captain Marvel.
The
character who has the Infinity Stone.
Oh.
Somewhere in her, I believe.
She's made of stone.
Yeah, she somehow has bonded with an Infinity Stone.
As you do.
Like you do. Lords of Empire, Swordsman number 1 is out. So if you were curious about that particular character and his whole deal, which I didn't understand. You had to actually explain to me what the hell happened with Swordsman. So maybe you can go back and recount this storied history.
Yeah, it's funny because I haven't really been following Empire, and I saw a Swordsman one, and I know from what you've been talking about on the podcast that it has to do with the Kree Skrull War and the Kotati and the whole deal. The Swordsman was a bad guy, but he was like a mentor to Hawkeye, and he joined the Avengers briefly, and he died. But he joined the Avengers with Mantis, and Mantis didn't like him. He was in love with Mantis. It was like an unrequited love triangle where she loved the Vision, but the Vision loved the Scarlet Witch. Actually, I guess it was a quadrangle of sorts.
But I mean, they
And
did have sex. I mean,
which ones?
Swordsman and Mantis.
I think so. Yeah, they
They had a
started out as
child
like,
together. I'm
no, that was, yeah, that
99.99%
was way
sure.
later though. That was,
Okay.
so that we're getting to that.
Ah, oh, sorry.
So Swordsman died. Mantis realizes when Swordsman dies that she loves him and not the Vision, but it's too late because he's dead. Then there's like some more adventures. Mantis is doing her stuff with the Avengers, whatever. Then the war happens and it's revealed that Mantis is going to bear the Celestial Messiah, which is why she becomes the Celestial Madonna, projecting these weird
Yes.
Christian archetypes onto space, as you do. And she ends up marrying sort of a reanimated corpse of the Swordsman possessed by plant aliens, who then they have this kid, and the kid is the Celestial Messiah, and he did some other shit that I haven't read or read
Right.
about, but the Swordsman was basically, he's dead, but then, and they may have brought him back to life, who knows? I really don't know. I know he was in Heroes Reborn, but yeah, but he was dead, and then he was reanimated by those aliens that are in Empire now, those plant aliens. And so I would imagine that this version of Swordsman was, he looked pretty plant-like on the cover.
Yes, he was very
So,
planty. So yes.
plantish. He's like a swamp thing of Swordsman.
Yes, which is also kind of what Black Tom is.
Yeah, that's
So
true.
yeah, Marvel's got a whole buttload of swamp people right running around right now.
You got your Man-Thing, you got your Black Tom, you got your Kotati race.
Yes. So this is a book that I want to talk about because it was probably my favorite thing this week. It is a character that I have dug for a really long time, and I'm really excited to have an actual, like, legit origin story for him. That is Maestro, number one,
Oh,
being
nice.
the old man Hulk from the future, from
Yeah.
Peter David's run, and
Yeah, future
this
imperfect.
from yes, Future Imperfect. Such a good book. This is like exactly what I wanted. It feels like something that if you were reading Peter David's run and this just kind of came off it, you'd go, wow, I'm really like, this is a really exciting direction that he's going in. It doesn't feel
Yeah.
like when an old writer comes in, not to name names, but Claremont, when he comes back and you're just disappointed, and you know, listen, I'm sorry. I know there are a lot of Claremont apologists out there, but man, X-Men Forever was terrible. But this is wonderful, and Peter David is like on his like this is his A game, and this is really fun. The art is awesome, and you get to see kind of a young Maestro in the beginning of this story, and it's the kind of like dystopian future story that actually works. It actually is fun to read. So I really dug this.
Well, the Future of Perfect was really like the first like old man Logan
Yep.
kind of thing, you know, like back when it came out in whatever 1988 or 9 or 90 or whatever it was, like that was like a big deal, and you had Perez drawing it, so it was like looked badass, but that guy
Yeah.
was still like on top of his game, and it was really cool, and you didn't really
Perez did
have that like,
a gorgeous variant cover for this series.
oh nice,
It's
cool. And
really
is it Dale
nice.
Keown? Did I look, I flipped through it, is that who
Yeah,
did the art
it's
on that?
Dale Keown
Yes.
did the cover. The main artist is German Peralta.
Oh, okay.
I don't
Cool.
know who that is, but the art is awesome. It is
Yeah.
wonderful.
It looked like a nice book.
Yeah. So
Both show.
I highly recommend it. Die is still going on if you like just exploding heads for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, that book lost me at issue 1. but you know, I have eyeball trauma things that I don't like, and there was some real serious eyeball trauma in that first
one. Well, I mean, Kirkman needs to have a leash on him. Like, you need to say, you're writing this story, and then you can put all of your exploding guts things in it. When someone is like, you know what, why don't you just do whatever the fuck you feel like? And then he just goes, I'm just going to do nothing but exploding guts. That's the book. And you'd think that it would be my favorite book ever. I just feel like it's too plotless for me.
Yeah. Is the artist on this, is it Steve Scroggie? Who is the artist on this?
Good question. Let me see. Fairbairn.
Nathan Fairbairn. Okay.
Fairbairn.
I don't know who that is. I don't know why I thought it was Steve Scroggie. That's weird.
I don't know.
That's like a weird 1990s reference. But Scroggie did that Maestros comic, so he's been around fairly recently. Or Magist, whatever that thing was.
Maestro. Oh yeah, Maestros. Remember that? Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, yeah, that book was awesome. Is awesome. I guess it still comes out and just hasn't in a while. But anyway,
no,
I think Kirkman,
that was a limited 5-issue series or something. Or the thing, you know, one of those Image things where it's like, it's 5 issues and then it comes back like a year later.
Yep. The Kirkman thing I really enjoy though is that the guy is just so fucking rich that he can just pull these stunts, and I love him, and I love him being a really rich person who has pull in the comic book, just because it's like, you know, he's not a Marvel DC guy, he's just like a guy who got fucking like immensely loaded and can just pull these fucking crazy things, like just debut a comic by sending free copies to a comic store or whatever.
So like, nuts. It's
more
so
fucking
cool.
Power to him.
Agree. And he makes great comics. He's a great writer. I can't argue with it. Spider-Woman number 3 is out. Another book that is better than I would have expected it to be. I had no interest in reading a Spider-Woman comic, but I have been very much enjoying this.
Nice.
Firefly number 19 is out. And another book that I'm not really a Star Wars guy. I don't really do the Star Wars things, but I've been really digging Star Wars Bounty Hunters. And Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 4 is out this week. And not to spoil too much about this, the character that you want to see from this series is here in this book, and the reintroduction of the most important character that you all care about from Attack of the Clones is here, that weird monster with a bunch of eyes that attacks Anakin in the middle of that pit, so that he rides around on with a chain. He's back, guys.
You got more memory of that of that comic than I, or of that movie than I have.
It's a very similar monster to that. I don't know if it's the same type of monster. My Wookiepedia is not great. So.
Wookiepedia, is that a thing?
That is that is an actual thing.
I feel like it would have to be. The one I want to see in this is I want to see Bossk, and I want to see IG-88, and I want to see Dengar
is the one that I was really waiting for.
Dengar has no path. Like, what's Dengar's deal? Like, I always wanted to know what Dengar's deal was.
He's got a really weird story. There is a long crazy thing with him, and there's a him and Zuckuss, who's the other one.
Zuckuss. Oh man, I forgot about Zuckuss.
They both have very cool backstories. And mostly I only know about them through MC Chris songs. So that's a nice easy way to catch up on Star Wars lore is to listen to any of the multiple MC Chris Star Wars character in vehicle songs. So
nice.
That's Vet. Dengar's dump truck.
there you go.
Yes, all classics. Valkyrie, Jane Foster, number 10 is out. Decorum number 4 is out. And a book that has a very stupid name, and I want to complain about it because I ordered very low on it. So if you want one of these fucking things, you better get it, because I saw it and I was like, I don't need a guidebook. That's dumb. Oh, shit. Nobody likes those descriptions of characters from a fucking book. And then always it turns out to be an actual comic book.
Oh, man. I'll make sure that the next time I read about something that I'm like, ooh, that one looks cool, that I
yeah, please
shoot
do.
You a text message, because yeah. I would not have missed this for the world. I loved the Death Metal guidebook.
Yeah, I ordered very low on Death Metal guidebook. I mean, relatively low. So yeah. You can get it. We have
but it will 10 sell
copies
out.
sitting on the shelf right now. But it will definitely sell out. It is actually stories. It is little tiny vignettes. It's usually 2 to 3 page stories, just being like character origins and backstories about little things. It starts off with a crazy Tolkien map of the entire, you get yeah. like the Middle Earth map of the Death Metal universe. It's great.
Well, the first story is literally the origin of what happened that led to Death Metal. And it's drawn, yeah. it's written by Scott Snyder and it's drawn by Doug Monkey. And it's cool as shit.
It is.
I like it.
And there's more than that, there's a very important continuity thing in this.
Yeah,
to the rest
I think
of
there's
the series.
A lot. Yep.
Yeah. There's one that is obviously very, very important. There's a moment with Lex Luthor that's very important. So
oh man. Yeah, there's some cool ass shit. There's a lot of cool ass shit in here. Like I think this is worth checking out. If you're into death metal, Eagles of Dark Knights, death metal, then, you don't want to miss this one, especially if there's limited quantities.
Yes.
Get them.
Another great book that I love. Actually, we're getting to a bunch of books that I really enjoy. That is Empire X-Men #4. This continues to be nutso, but now, we have the now repentant Scarlet Witch going to Doctor Strange to be like, so I resurrected 16 million mutants and they all still have their powers, but they're zombies and I could use some help. And he's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You
Why?
Constantly do this. You can't keep doing these stupid things. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll put my tickets to Rent or whatever it was that he has on hold. And he's like, I'll go help you find all of the mystical items that you need to undo this spell. And so they go on a road trip through the nether realms to procure magical items with which to end this zombie plague that has been unleashed on Genosha.
Plague of zombie Genosians.
Yep. But continuing to be just a solid, fun X-Men story. I'm just enjoying the hell out of it.
Nice.
So
yeah, it looked cool. I you've been talking up Empire so much that I've started paying attention to it.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that
I'm
hurt me with
surprised I give a shit about Empire. It actually kind of pisses me off that I care about this weird, stupid space story.
No.
But you know what I do care about that is X-Men related even more than that is Cable.
Ooh.
I hate Kid Cable. I like that the introduction of that character, I was like, I am not on board for this. I don't care about him whatsoever. How can they possibly release a Kid Cable series that I'm going to give a shit about? And I love this series. It's selling really well, which is also surprising to me, like better than a regular Cable series would have sold. And it's fun. He's dating Esme, the cuckoo. Like,
ooh, that can't end well.
Yeah, it's a very strange relationship, but it's really fun. There's a lot of weird shit going on. He meets Deadpool for the first time again. Time travel, he's a kid, whatever. So this is his first time meeting Deadpool, and because Deadpool has stolen Cable's corpse. And he needs to make a deal with
like old Cable?
Old man Cable's corpse is now his pool table. So now this has some of my favorite characters that are vaguely usable in the Marvel Universe. This is the Space Knights, and they keep bringing these guys back. The Space Knights of Galador, so it's just Rom the Space Knight from back in the old Marvel days, but they just can't use Rom. so they can use everything else they have. Every other aspect of this is on the table. I don't know if IDW may have made a deal for the Dire Wraiths or what, but the Knights of Galador are on Earth. The sword that Cable is carrying, they want back because it's a mystical relic of Galador. And so they're here to get it. And then they're like, well, and once they get there, they realize that their planet has blown up since they left. And now they want to colonize Earth. So
can I just very quick shout out to anyone and actually, I would say, like, if you follow Cartoonist Kayfabe, like, you saw the post today, like, and you're starting to get the idea that people are figuring it out. ROM was an amazing comic book series. It was so good, so much better than anyone gave it credit for years, decades. ROM, you can pick any issue, and it's like the craziest shit happens in it. It just
best
is amazingly good.
Ever. The Dire Wraiths are the scariest villain in Marvel.
I was just reading the Assistant Editor's Month issue of ROM that I had in some of my back issue bins, and it's the one where there's like this superhero. His name is the Torpedo or the Tornado or something. He's a terrible costume, and he's just like this guy, this superhero guy that was in ROM, and he was like a major character in ROM for a while. And this one is the one where they kill him. And it's like, they just, out of nowhere, it's like this guy is just like, they just, the way they drew it, it's like crazy. It's like these three panels, and it's like the guy's like starting to fight, but then it's like, nope, they snuck up on him. He's already dead. And it's like, you just see his like eyes roll back in his head, and then he falls down, and then they just assume his form. And it's like, he's just now one of them. It's like, fuck. And then at the end, there's a goofy thing where ROM has a toaster in his head. Because it's an Assistant Editor's Month issue. So, like, they basically, when it was Assistant Editor's Month, the assistant editors took over, and they, like, basically did these, like, goofy versions of Marvel. Like, anytime you see them, they're worth getting because they're just crazy. But this one, it was like, yeah, we're not going to change the issue of ROM because we're serious about our storytelling, but we'll give you two pages at the back that you can, like, make ROM have a toaster in his head. And they're like, okay. Awesome. So it's like you have this like super heavy duty shit, and then at the end it's like goofy. But yeah, no, ROM is great, and Marvel, if they were smart, would really deal for
I think so
for
too.
Having ROM.
And I think that's been on the table for a long time. I think Parker Brothers is just not excited about giving it up for anything less than a big amount of money, and I think that Marvel is just like, ROM's not worth $5 million. ROM's worth $1 million, maybe.
But then IDW, it's not like they paid big money for it.
Well, no. I mean, Marvel would want to own it. Marvel doesn't. Not going to fuck around and do a deal for it. Marvel's going to say, give me that. That's not how Disney rolls. Disney's going to come in, burn down the guy that owns the copyrights house and say, what do you think now? Give it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Mouse suits and everything. Yeah, so...
Sorry for my ROM digression.
Not at all. ROM's such a great example of that thing that I'm always saying, which is that all of the good characters in mainstream comics, all of the good books tend to be all the shittiest characters. Shittiest in air quotes. ROM is three boxes. ROM is a couple boxes, a big light.
He has two fingers.
He's got two fingers. He is the least defined character that Marvel has ever made a comic about. He is just if you were like, it's got to be a robot, but it's got to be shitty. It's got to look like a little kid made it out of cardboard boxes. You can have one light, and the gun has to stick in his hand. Like, that toy sucked, but also was the toy that everyone in the world wanted at the time.
I've never seen an actual ROM toy.
Beautiful boxed one at the old store. I haven't had one since then. I haven't had a nice version of ROM since the first Funbox Monster Emporium down the street. And that thing was so pristine, and I'm so pissed that I sold it. That's something that I wish I had kept because I will never see another one in that condition.
Damn. ROM, I would actually say, though, that ROM despite its simplistic design, is actually a very effective design. And sometimes ROM is a good example of like simple KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Well, I mean, ROM is an example of a toy that was given to Marvel and they were like, I guess we'll figure something out to do with it. And they did something amazingly cool. Because yeah. they had these constraints, but they had the constraints of looking at this dumb looking toy, and then they went, okay, I guess he's a knight, and it's from space, so we'll do a round table, I guess. Like, and they did, and it's very cool. But I agree. I second the ROM is an awesome comic.
Yeah, if you've ever just wondered, just like next time you see a crappy issue of ROM for nothing, just buy it and be like, just read it from cover to cover, read it, and you'll be like, you'll definitely walk away wanting to know more about what's going on with ROM.
Yep.
Or maybe you won't. I don't know. No guarantees. Or not.
Either way, Once in Future number 10 is out.
And there's another Tamara Bond Villon.
Yep. She knows what's up. Low number 24 is out. So if you're of the enjoying to be depressed and reading comics, Low is there for you. Captain Marvel number 20 is out. That is a tie-in to Empire, and it involves a new Carol Corps who are all accusers. So they're doing that thing. Catwoman number 24 continues the Sean Murphy and, oh my God, I can't remember her name. Blake Northcott. Yes.
Sean Tormey is the artist. And this was just like a two issue kind of, but yep. It has Snowflame.
Yes.
And Snowflame really does make a strong presence known in this comic book. If you know who Snowflame is, you're the person that this book is aimed directly absolutely. At the face of.
And I will say that it did have to be censored considerably from the original script. Because
but I guess that doesn't surprise me considering it's literally a character powered by cocaine.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm at liberty to say what the scenes were, but there were some very funny scenes with him that were very 80s in using his powers. That I wish we had seen in this.
Damn it.
Captain America number 22 is out. Gideon Falls number 24 is out. Excalibur number 11 is out. God damn it, I didn't get to read this yet, so I have no idea what's going on. Wolverine number 4. Holy crap. I forgot to look at it.
Oh, I forgot to look at it. Damn it.
And I love it so much. Nice. This is, I mean, again, we're back to the fact that we can now all read X-Men comics again because Marvel will put their full weight behind them now. And same goes for Wolverine. This is a continuation. You know, if you were wondering if you were going to be able to see a comic where Wolverine has pissed in Magneto's helmet, worry no more. Here it is.
There you go. So, I was waiting for that.
We were all waiting for it. But this is another one of those things. He has his own portal, so he goes to this out of the way Yukon bar, and he's like, you know, this is his way to escape from Krakoa and all this nonsense. And he just hangs out there and gets wasted. But then the world catches up to him, and it ties into the crazy story that was going on prior. So very awesome. I loved it.
Nice.
And
I meant to look at it and I totally forgot.
Probably the biggest Marvel book this week is Thor. That was that's a big deal. Some crazy, crazy stuff's going on in that. I can't say anything because everything I say is going to be a spoiler. So I will not, but needless to say, a bunch of crazy shit happens and it's big. So. Very enjoyable. Nice. Aquaman number 62.
But Aquaman, you can't marry a woman without gills.
That's the story. the continuation of that story that was being read in that one Simpsons episode.
Yes, I actually did read this issue of Aquaman, and as much as it is not like a huge draw for me, it is, if you're a fan of the Young Justice, the cartoon,
yes. Yeah.
Aqualad, that version of Aqualad.
Tempest?
No, not Tempest. The Jackson, the version of Aqualad becomes Aquaman in Young Justice cartoon, but it's also just, you know, whatever, it's DC, so it's versions. It's all him. It's all him, and I believe also Tempest, but I'm not really sure. They never really clearly identified as to whether that guy was Tempest or not, but there's a guy that looks like Tempest in it, for sure.
There we go. There is a Justice League number 51 out this week.
So it's a new arc.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's a new arc, and it has really, it's the Black Mercy from that Alan Moore issue with the thing that shows you your dreams.
That thing seems to make a comeback a lot. For something that feels like it really should have been something that you're like, hey, I've seen this thing. I'm going to not put it near my face. These guys get tricked by that thing quite a bit.
Well, I think that the whole deal of it is that it is tricky. I do like that a lot of these Justice League, so the Cy Spurrier one that just wrapped was really good, but I like that these Justice League stuff, these comics are happening in space. I think it's just like, take Justice League out of Earth for a little while, let them do cool space shit, you know, like just make kind of more archetypical Justice League ones. And also has a fancy Nick Darrington variant cover. Anyway, that's too much time for Justice League.
Wonder Woman Annual number 4 is out.
That looks actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nightwing number 73 is continuing with the Joker War, and Nightwing is now Jokerized.
We're inching closer and closer to when I might actually read Nightwing again.
And finally, Batman 97 is out. And I'm going to say I'm becoming a fan of this run.
I liked very this quickly. Issue.
I liked this issue a lot. I like Clown Killer. It's a fun concept, and every time he shows up, I'm like, okay, you got me. This is fun. Every time Gotham is a wasteland, like Cataclysm and all of those, when it's like really just bombed out and looks like Mad Max land, that's my favorite Gotham. And this storyline has a lot of that Gotham in it. And having this like punk rock dude who has taken over one block, essentially he's only running one block, and every time any of the Joker's goons show up there, he murders them. And that's kind of his whole character.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And
he's Clown Hunter.
He's Clown Hunter.
He's the Spider-Punk of continuity is. Batman.
He really is.
The other thing that I would say is, if you ever were waiting for the time that someone was going to tell Batman that he was going to trip balls, you really need to get this one, because your moment in the sun has arrived. I it's just silly enough, and I'm over the Joker. I really wish that he would never fucking appear again, but like, whatever, it's still fun, and the art is really good. Jorge Jimenez is really great, and I love that Clown Hunter is like 100% saving it for me. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't get it, but I really love Clown Hunter. Also, you forgot to mention Wonder Woman Legends of the Dead Earth.
Oh,
by Daniel Warren Johnson.
Forget that.
Book 4, which is probably, I don't know, I really liked Ant-Man, but this might be the book of the week for me. Loved it. It's
He's
so good.
So good. God damn. Yep.
So good. So good.
Also,
so
read if you're Murder Falcon. Also, read Murder Falcon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Murder Falcon rocks.
So, yes. That's it. That's this week. That's all the books. We did it.
We did it again.
We made it through all the books. And you can follow us at Actually Comics on the internet and see all of the amazing funny panels that Bob has found from the world of comics.
And
you can buy things at coastcitycomics.com, and we would appreciate it if you did that.
Yes, definitely. Please do that. The one thing I want to say as far as the Instagram goes is brace yourself for an upcoming change, because it's not going to completely change. But I think that I feel like the Instagram doesn't reflect the podcast
yes,
at all.
It does
and
not.
I feel like one of the goals of having an Instagram is to actually talk about comics that are coming out and link to the store and use it as an actual marketing tool, to pull the curtain back too much. But like, you know, like remind people visually of what's fun about awesome comics that are coming out. And so I'm not going to like take it away. Like I'm not going to completely pull back the like fun panels because I love doing that. But I also think that there just there needs to be a little bit more of like a, hey, man, this shit's out. This shit's new. You know?
Yeah, like, it's true. I also have the Instagram on my phone so I can do some of that as well. So yeah. I will try to do that when I think of it.
I think we should try to do that a little bit.
When we were, I remember when we first started that Instagram, every week I was doing a story where I took a photo of every single book that came out in the story. And as annoying as that is, we should do something similar, but maybe less annoying than that. So, so that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent. Just a piece of changes. A little bit.
Word.
Tiny changes. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, no, not at all. Thank you so much, Bob. And I'll see you next week. And buy some comics, everybody.
Yes, do it. Don't forget. Do it this week. Now. Bye.
We'll see you. Do it. Cigarette!